Good morning. Good morning, sir. What is your name, sir?
My name is Joseph Valenzuela.
This is Mr. Valenzuela, sir. Joseph.
Yes, sir.
Yes, okay. I think the Honorable Mr. Johnson will be the lead, sir, so just hold on, and we'll be with you very shortly, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you doing, sir? Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good. So you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing this morning. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Gill. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chair. And then you have, to my immediate left, is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. And sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I will be acting as your lead for this hearing today, sir. Also with us, sir, representing the Department of Corrections, as well as the parole office, is Mr. Alvoy. Mr. Westby.
Well, all right then, you know.
We also have Mr. Westby with the Department of Corrections, parole office, as well as the Department of Corrections, sir. So prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form that advised you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form notifying you of your hearing today, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, sir, it advises you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself.
Okay, sir. This time I'd like to swear you and Mr. Westby in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
Your hearing today will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked. In phase one, the board will determine whether your community supervision, the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, sir, the board will make a determination whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have two allegations listed on your warrant. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you, sir. But when I read those allegations to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is true or false. Also, I see that you do have a departmental report number attached to your warrant, which means that there may be charges still pending, which we don't know. However, because these hearings are taken according to, these hearings can be subpoenaed by the prosecutor or the defense attorney for court hearings. So I want to also give you the opportunity, sir, when I read those allegations, that you can either plead the fifth, say whether it's true or whether it's false, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The first allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about March 26, 2018, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated April 3rd, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay. Okay, so then your next allegation states you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 5, as demonstrated by your engagement in physical assaultive behavior on or about March 23rd, 2018 in Maricopa County. Sir, is that true, false, or would you like to take the fifth?
That's false.
Okay. Okay, so given that you stated that's false, we're going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Westby, to get some additional information. Mr. Westby.
On March 24th, 2018, at 17:42 hours, Phoenix Police Officer Fleischman C. Number 10052, responding to 4119 North 73rd Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona 85033, regarding a complaint of an aggravated assault. Officer Fleischman met with Sophie Sanchez, who stated that she had been at Cesar Chavez Park on March 23rd, 2018. Drinking with offender Joseph Valenzuela, ADC number 123251, whom she dated prior to his recent incarceration. Ms. Sanchez reported the offender became angry after thinking that Ms. Sanchez was looking at other men. Ms. Sanchez stated that the offender then struck her with a closed fist 45 bangs in the face and head. Ms. Sanchez stated that she and the offender left the park shortly after the initial assault, with the offender driving her car. According to Sanchez, she tried to get away from the offender in the area of 7th Avenue and Buckeye Road by getting out of the car. Ms. Sanchez states that after getting out of the car, while stepping on the curb, the offender struck her with the car, knocking her to the ground, where she landed on her back. Ms. Sanchez reported that at this time, the offender exited the car and lifted her from the ground while she was crying and screaming, and physically put her back in the car. Ms. Sanchez further stated that sometime between leaving the park and her trying to get away near 7th Avenue and Buckeye Road, the offender started twisting her arm and stated he was going to break it. Ms. Sanchez advised police officer Fleischman that at this point, the offender drove her to a house near 17th Avenue and Fillmore Street, where he kept her until March 24th, 2018. Ms. Sanchez further reports the offender returned her to her place of residence on March 24th, 2018. Ms. Sanchez stated that she then went to Banner Estrella Hospital for medical treatment before returning home on the evening of March 24th, 2018, and phoning the Phoenix Police Department. Ms. Sanchez informed police officer Fleischman that she desired the offender to be prosecuted on these allegations. On March 26, 2018, Detective Eden with the Phoenix Police Department interviewed the offender at 801 South 16th Street and advised parole staff he would be requesting multiple assault charges and a charge of kidnapping be filed against the offender. During the interview, the offender stated he was at the halfway house Phoenix Oasis all night. On March 26, 2018, Peel Krumpelman contacted Phoenix Oasis house manager Ray, who stated the offender was present for the $2,200 bed check, but also indicated the offender's roommate Mario advised the offender left shortly after the $2,200 bed check, did not return until the following day. In the interest of public safety, due to the offender's extensive history of violence, the offender was subsequently returned to custody by the Northeast Parole Staff on March
28, 2018. Okay, I just wanted to do this. So what's not true about this? Oh, that's right, you took the film. I'm sorry.
It's false.
It's false.
Oh, okay, so what's not true about this?
Okay, at the beginning of the allegations that you were speaking about, I do know Sophie. We had a long-term relationship back in the past. When I got out, she was there for me. I admit she's a very good woman. Much respect for her, so. The stuff that she was saying about the assault stuff, I did not do. Me being at the halfway house, like I explained to the police officer, the investigator, I was there during the first count. Mr. Mario, my roommate, I don't sleep in that room. The manager there knows why, because he has a real bad snoring problem. I left there at 6:30 in the morning. I left before everybody else was up, which was Saturday. I left. I took off. I left. I went to eat breakfast. I went out on the bus, and I went to the Phoenix Zoo. So as far as Marlo's saying that I wasn't there, I mean, the manager, he makes two walks. Once before we get locked down, which is at 10 o'clock, he makes another one around 1 or 2. As far as I was telling the investigator, I know that I have a past, and I do regret that. But as far as me being incarcerated the last time, I took a lot of programs. I've done a lot of growing up. I would never put my hands on Sophie. I don't know where she came up with this. I think she was a little upset because I was seeing other women the time that I got out. I talked to her that night. She was intense. She was extremely drunk. She was intoxicated. She was telling me all kinds of stuff about she was going to kill me and stuff like that. On my phone, I have a text on there where she said that she was going to, if she ever found out that I was another woman, she was going to kill me. But I'm not saying she's a bad person. She was just intoxicated. I mean, as far as putting my hands on her, that didn't happen. I did drive her car. I didn't leave that night. I was there at the facility. that's basically all. I mean, I was in committee with the script and stuff. I just want to talk to you guys from the heart. I didn't do anything like that. Like I said, I've done a lot of growing up since my past, and I would never put my hands on Sophie. Sophie, I've known her for years, and I mean, I would never do that to her. I never had with her in the past. So why did I start 60 days after I got out, you know?
Mr. Wesley, does it have any times listed when this incident occurred? I just see when the officer was called out, that's the only time I recall seeing it in the report.
No, there's not anything here listed on allegation, nor in the phone notes about a time. All I have is information regarding the stats of charges that were.
Okay, I just sort of say that here's a slight issue with this is that he was at bed check at 2200 hours. That's 10 o'clock at night. He was in the bed. The allegation against him, Ms. Sanchez says that they left the park in her car. So if they left the park in her car, I'm assuming that Mr. Valenzuela don't have a car, so she would have had to pick him up sometime after 10 o'clock. And I think those parks close at 10 or 11 o'clock.
Well, they're supposed to be closed.
Yeah, you know, and they usually have people go in there and check them. So she would have had to pick him up right after the 10 o'clock, but she says nothing in here about picking them up, just if they were at the park and he drove off in her car and if he had to get a ride there. How are you doing? And then this house on 17th Avenue in Fillmore, whose house that would actually be. Do you know someone living in the area of 17th Avenue in Fillmore?
I have no idea, sir. I have no clue about that address at all. And if I may, I was talking to my CO3 about the same thing that you just brought up about the parks being closed. As far as I know, yes, at 10 o'clock, they start moving everybody out by 10.
So, how often do they do checks? You were saying they do checks at the facility you were staying at.
I know they do one at 10, and then they do one maybe around 2 o'clock, and then at around 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, he'll come back through and just make sure that everything's okay in the apartment, and then that's about it.
So, Mr. Wesley, is there anything in there that says that he was not present at any of the bed checks?
Conversation with the detective and the parole officer regarding the investigation that they had, and then they went down and interviewed him at our parole office, but I'm not seeing anything on here regarding anything from Phoenix Oasis from the halfway house. Although it does state in the follow-up that March 26th, as I'm trying to look at the chrono date here and see if I could see a conversation between the manager and the parole officer. I don't see anything in the chrono notes that I can find, or although it's notated in the warrant follow-up that he was advised that by the manager that just about the conversation with the that he was present at 2200, but there's nothing else other than that showing that there was a bed check at 2 o'clock.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Can I ask Mr. Valenzuela a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Valenzuela?
Yes.
You said you don't sleep in your room because your Mr. Mario snores?
Yes.
Where do you sleep?
Very good, ma'am.
Where do you sleep?
I sleep up in the living room on my couch. And the manager knew about that. Because we had an issue the first time when I got there. when I introduced myself to the manager there, he told me about the snoring problem that Mr. Mario had, which is another, I guess, parole. I told him at first I didn't have a problem with it because I was just happy to be out and I just wanted to be right. Placed somewhere.
Right.
I went ahead and slept with him one night and I didn't sleep. The guy has a really, really bad issue of snoring.
Okay.
So I talked to the manager and they told me that I could just go ahead and sleep. I'll deal with it. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
I got it. I'm just having a little bit of issue with this allegation number two, with the timeline of what's been said in there. And I'm kind of familiar with that area, 7th Avenue and Buckeye, for someone to get out of a car, step on the curb, get struck by a car, gets land on the back, get struck several times, and there's usually police cars and stuff going by there. In that area that no one calls the police, and then taking it to a house in the area 17th Avenue in Fillmore. I'm just, doesn't say it was a vacant house, abandoned house, or a house. I'm just not, I'm just
if, if I may, as a matter of fact, right down 7th Avenue Buckeye, there's the police station, like maybe not even a quarter mile away.
I'm familiar with that. It's on 7th Avenue in Washington.
Yeah, well, okay, about a mile away, half a mile. So there's always cops going down the street there, so.
Where's the halfway house?
Where's
all the way to 73rd Avenue? That's far.
Right.
The halfway house is on 31st Avenue, Roosevelt.
Oh, where's the?
It's 1010.
Wait, the halfway house is on 31st Avenue and Roosevelt?
Yes, sir.
What'd you say the address was?
I believe it's 1010 North 31st Avenue.
That is correct.
How could you get all that? 7th Avenue and Buckeye.
And she lived on 73rd Avenue.
But they would say your shop is far.
On 35th Avenue and Baseline. I'm telling you, I'm having a little bit of issue with this. I'll see if I can get some input from some of my other colleagues of their opinion on it. This allegation number two.
Well, I can hear you. Do we have no disposition on what police did? I mean, like,
I just got us the charges since. I was going to read that during the phase one here. I received an email from parole supervisor Fleischman dated May 15th, 2018, that states he was taken back on tech violations and agreed by Phoenix Police to text Beaton on March 28th, 2018 for domestic violence issues. Charges were filed at the county attorney's office on April 18th, 2018 for aggravated assault, and kidnapping. Charges are pending.
I think police have moved over to the interviews and everything else that they've sent off to the county attorney's office for to be charged.
Yeah, I just, in the bylaw, it says in the interest of public safety, due to the offender's extensive history of violence, it's almost like the officer just, wrote the charges up because there were some allegations made and he has a history, but there's no indication that.
But if he was assault, I would think the officer would have to have seen some interviews. You guys have been through substantiating the injuries to constitute an aggravated assault charge.
I understand, and that's why I'm saying that the officer doesn't say that he observed physical injuries that were consistent with what she stayed in or anything like that. He just says,
This is the PO's report of what he heard from the police.
No, this is
what the police wrote in their report.
No, this is the follow-up to this. This is the officer saying, in the interest of public safety due to the What could be the PO saying that to them?
I just wanted to comment that I put the pronouns that is what they have on there, and when it's an interest of public safety, that's the Department of Corrections, because of the fact that if there are pending charges, we don't wait for somebody to get, you know, arrested and put in jail. I mean, if there are pending charges on them, and if they have a criminal history, one where they have domestic violence or assaultive behavior, in public safety, that is the Department, Arizona Department of Corrections policy, that we do the emergency entry warrant and return them to custody.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and move on, move forward with this, although I have some issues with it. I'm going to, as far as allegation number one, Mr. Valenzuela admits to allegation number one. As far as allegation number two goes, I am going to, based on the information contained in the warrant, based on the information we received from Mr. Valenzuela, as well as information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby, I am going to find that, and as far as allegation number two goes, with that information, I'm going to find that Mr. Valenzuela was delinquent with allegation one through his admission, allegation number two through the information contained in the warrant, as well as information coming from the parole officer, Mr. Westby. Find that he was delinquent, he did violate the terms and conditions of the supervision, that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company. That would be my motion.
Second.
Everybody agree with me?
The motion by myself, second by Mr. Neal.
Yes.
Agreed by Mr. Quinones, agreed by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by Mr. Wright. I'm going to mark some things up here. The violation. Okay, Mr. Valenzuela, you heard us have some detailed discussion reference incident. The board has found that you are in violation of allegation one and two based on the information that we have contained in the warrant, information from the parole officer, and we're going to go ahead and move on to phase two, sir. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Weston.
On March 12, 2018, Mr. Valenzuela was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested March 28, 2018 by ABC staff on pending charges. He was back in DOC custody March 28, 2018 with a projected CACD of August 21, 2018, 0 stop dates, current conviction 2015, aggravated assault 3 years, prior conviction 1996, theft 4 years, 1996 armed robbery 5 years, 2006 aggravated assault 7 years. This is his third term in DOC, CUIR score 2-3, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 2. There's no gang information noted. Prior term of supervision 2001, TIS release of standard 14 days, reached CCD privacy to BOEC. 2011, TIS release completion 1 year. His disciplinary violations are moderate with rioting and weapons noted. Other arrests, 1988, unlawful use of means of transportation, Arizona, juvenile detention, and several domestic violence charges. However, charges were dismissed and not filed. Community risk score is a G3B4.
Okay, so I said when you were released on March 12th, sir, you were released from prison with approved placement at the Oasis located at 1010 North 31st Avenue. You didn't have any other address and you were still standing there at the time you were taken in custody. Were you working during this period of time, sir?
I was, if I may. On March 12th, yes, I was released. On March 13th, I met with Mr. Clinton, Jason Clinton, my parole officer. We sat down, we had an agreement about all the conditions, 100%. I basically told him, hey, you know, this is your role. I'm just in it right now temporarily. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. On the 16th of Friday, I obtained employment at a company called Priority Masonry. I laid concrete. On the 19th Monday, I started working. I worked the whole week. On the 26th, we had a short day, so I was kind of worried about the work that they had there. It wasn't really, you know, everyday thing. So I went ahead and I started putting applications the whole day. Got kind of stressed out, trying to take the bus and stuff like that. I mean, I'm not going to lie, it's pretty stressful out there. On the 27th, on the 26th, I did call my colors. There's really no excuse for that, except I was just stressed out. I didn't have a phone. I would usually use somebody's phone to call my colors in. That day I went back, went to sleep. On the 27th, I went to my classes. My colors popped up. I mean, no pop-up on the 27th. I went ahead later on that day, put in some more applications, attended my counseling classes. And then from another person that was there, we had the same color, he had asked me if I had went Monday for my colors, and I said no. He says, well, the color turned up. So on Tuesday, I had a talk with Mr. Rick Pierce from Course Lab, which I met at a Second Chance program. I set up an interview with him for the 28th. Rick Pierce, the superintendent, at 8 a.m., I was hired. I called Mr. Clumpton that same day, let him know that I had failed to appear on the 27th, but just knew about the color popping up on the 28th, I mean on the 27th. So he asked me to come in to do a quick swab test. I went ahead and went in, and that's when everything just happened. But yes, I did have a job. I still have a job now. If people look on the letter that was sent in on one of them, where the company was calling my fiance now, they kept calling me, asking me where I was at, because we had new plans, and he knows the type of work that I do. I've known him from the past from other jobs, and he really wanted me on that company. But yes, I was working.
Okay.
I was going to work. I was going to one of classes.
Okay, so it only served that you had, your color came up once and you didn't go take the UA when your color actually came up. I'm going to see, sir, if the board has any additional questions for you. Seeing the board with no additional questions, sir, the board's about to go into discussion as we come up on the conclusion of the hearing. Want to see if there's anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself before we go into discussion, sir.
Yes, please.
Anything else you'd like to say?
Yes. Back to this issue that happened. I mean, if I really had anything to hide, when I called Mr. Clumpton on appeal, I believe that, and I would have went in, if I would have something to hide about this assault or anything else, I would have went in. Most people don't. But I haven't denied. I just went ahead and went in. Knew nothing about the assault. I was, the whole thing of me wanting to was to get this swab test because I had missed my colors Monday. So I went in to get a swab test and this popped up. All I'm asking is just, you know, I've done a lot of growing up since then. The Second Chance program, I don't know if you guys have any proof on the programs that I've been attending here in prison. I completed all of them with fine colors, attended school, the Second Chance program, I mean the CO4 there, she even offered me to go back as a voluntary speaker, motivational speaker after my parole. I just had too much going for me. I had way too much going. I don't see myself jeopardizing what I had in 16 days over something like that.
Okay, Mr. Valenzuela, the board is going to go into discussion. So a lot of board is in discussion. I'm going to ask you to remain on the line so you can hear the conversation taking place between the board and but remain silent while the board's in discussion. We will make a determination whether we revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision at this time. So the board's in discussion, sir. Please remain on the phone, but remain silent. As the board is in discussion, I think we had quite a bit of conversation as far as allegation number two goes, and as I think about it and give it some thought, the time frame is a little bit of an issue to me, although we've already gone through that. But I do think that if he was there, then it would have been easy for him to present some information to us that they could have checked to make sure he did make all those bed counts. But there's nothing indicating that he did make those other bed counts. I think that based on information contained in warrant number 2018W0903 and information that we obtained from the parole officer, I am not in favor of reinstating Mr. Barnes whether back out on this community supervision at this time. How about women and listening to the rest of my colleagues? Did not hear no comment from the colleagues. I am going to make the motion. I'm going to make the motion to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Barnes' favor. By that it was a Lincoln body, the terms, conditions of supervision had lapsed, about to lapse into criminal ways or company, as he does have pending charges pending against him for assault and kidnapping.
I'll second.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Okay, there's a motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by Dr. Ryan, agreed by Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Mr. Valenzuela?
Yes, sir.
Sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You did hear the conversation taking place between this board. You will be released on August 21st of 2018, which is about 2 months from now, sir. At that time, you won't be on any parole or community supervision. Sir, I want to wish you the best of luck, and hopefully when you get out on the 21st of 2018, that you won't have any negative contacts with law enforcement, so you'll be able to live a productive life as a citizen. And that's going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you for taking the time and opportunity to participate in your hearing.
Okay, thank you, guys. I really do appreciate it. You guys have a wonderful day.
Thank you.